Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course. Hey, Macaulay, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much, man. Just a typical Sunday evening. We're going to lead off with a little baseball, talk about the Mets' dramatic win this game, and as Mets took the rubber game of, the series against the Astros. And, of course, we're going to talk about the Yankees' win today. And then we'll switch gears, talk a little football. You know, Jets are going to play the Panthers tonight. And Giants are going to play later this week. And we'll give a little recap of their past game this past week also. And as usual, you know, we're going to end it off with a little sports entertainment. And, of course, folks, you know, the phone lines are open. Feel free to talk sports, entertainment, or anything else. 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So get your voices heard. Operators are standing by. Carly.
Yep.
Pretty sure you didn't check out this game earlier today.
That game? No, I didn't.
Yeah, this was the last series that Mets are going to play against the Astros as a National League series, because after this year, the Astros are officially going to become an American League team.
Right.
And the Astros, formerly known as Hope 45, when they came into the league the same year as the Mets did.
Yeah.
Like in 62. And the reason why they changed their names to the Astros, because I guess they felt it wasn't PG, you know, naming a team after, you know, a gun. So,
yeah.
So they changed it to Astros. But in any case, like I mentioned earlier this year, Astros swept the Mets. And Astros is the worst team in baseball, bar none. But yet in Houston, you know, the Astros, you know, they actually showed up for a series.
Wow.
And just humiliated us. But this wasn't this week. This was like a month or two ago. And the Astros humiliated the Mets, you know, in Houston. But Mets, you know, redeemed themselves. Friday night, you know, they lost that game. I'm trying to remember what happened. Oh, yes, I think that was the – no, that was in the Colin McHugh game. Colin McHugh game before that. My memory escapes me for them. Oh, yeah, Nice. Yeah, Nice had a good game. But the Mets didn't bring the bats, so Nice lost that game. Saturday, R.A. Dickey had a vintage performance. Got his 16th win yesterday. David Wright, congratulations to him. He finally hit his 200th home run.
I heard about that.
Of his career, becoming only the third Met in history to hit 200 home runs with the Mets. And I'm pretty sure you could guess the other two. Can you hear me, Macaulay?
Yeah, I was saying Daryl Strawberry is the other one.
Daryl Strawberry, yes. That's number one. And who's the second?
Let's see. Piazza.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Daryl Strawberry has the Met record, 252 home runs. Piazza is second place, 220 home runs. So those are the only two guys in Met history that Wright, if he stays his entire career as a Met, in like 2 or 3 years, you know, he'll pass those guys. But
yeah.
Especially next year, he should definitely pass Strawberry if he's healthy.
Right.
So congratulations to him. Even though it was in a losing effort, he did it he hit it on Friday.
Yeah, congrats to him. You know, 200 home runs. That's halfway to 500.
No, well, almost halfway.
Almost halfway. Yeah. So hopefully he's been playing what for like 8 years now.
I think 9 years. He came like I think July of 04.
Yeah.
He's been with the Mets ever since.
Well, if he plays for another 9 or 10 years, maybe he'll reach the 500. Maybe.
Maybe. But he can't. He just can't have those seasons that he had like in 09 and 010. So you know.
Yeah.
He should you know. Hey, if he stays healthy and hits to his potential, he could definitely hit 500. Like he mentioned, he never expected that he'd hit 200 home runs.
Yeah, 200 is a lot.
It is. Got to be healthy and consistent in order to do that.
Oh, yeah. How many home runs does he have this season so far?
Let me see. I think he had 16 or 17. Yeah, I think he has 16 or 17 home runs.
He probably finished with, what, 25, 30 home runs, right? You gonna say?
Yeah. 30 if he gets, I'd say 30 if he gets really hot. But,
yeah
realistically, like, 24, 25 home runs.
Yeah.
And he's, what is he like? I think fourth place in the batting, in the batting title. Which,
this is one of his best seasons.
Yeah, definitely. And the speaking of the NL batting title, we'll go back to the Mets for a quick second. Melky Cabrera, he might still win the NL batting title.
I know, that's very shocking.
It's very strange. I mean, because if he, which since he's not gonna, even though he's not gonna play, all they're gonna do is minus one at bat from his thing, so he could easily win.
Right.
The batting title. If you see, who is he battling with? I'm trying to remember who's the other person who's now number two.
And I don't even know.
I forgot. McCutchen.
Oh.
Yeah. McCutchen just fell. I think they both are batting the same amount. Like I think 246 or something like that.
Oh.
But my percentage. Points, you know, since what's his name, Cabrera isn't hitting, so his average isn't going down. So
right
now, by percentage points, he leads, you know, McCutchen.
Wow.
I mean, it's a total joke. I mean, they should literally, you know, kick him out of from you know being you know suspended for something. It's not like he's injured or anything. You know,
yeah.
He should be, you know what I mean? He should be out of the running.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, but he tested positive for a banned substance. And he should be penalized. I know they suspended him for 50 games, but he should not be in the running for the batting title. I mean, and I love Melky, but what he did was ludicrous.
Yeah, that's more ludicrous than the rapper.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, if he got hurt, I would understand, you know, for him to be in the running. But this is like this is his fault why he's not in it. And then top it off, he lied and made a fake website. I mean, come on. I mean, this is gonna affect his free agency.
Yeah, that's uncalled for.
I mean, it's crazy. But going back to the Mets again, what was I gonna say? Colin McHugh, he made his Met debut a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
On Thursday, he went I think 7+ innings.
Who?
Yeah, he's a guy.
Was this?
He's a guy. He went 7 innings. He's a Met prospect who made his debut on it was Thursday, right? Thursday against the Rockies, I think it was.
Okay.
Is that right? And he struck out 9. He threw like 7 shutout innings. He was pretty much dominating them. And he's not even like a well-known prospect. They talk about Harvey, who had a great game the day before that also, and Mejia, who should be coming up again in a couple of days for the September call-ups.
Right.
Not to mention Wheeler, who should make his Mets debut next year. But this guy, he pretty much came out of nowhere. I mean, he's pitched well in Double A and Triple A this year. But this guy, I mean, he pitched like an ace.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know how Mets rewarded him?
How? Sent him back down?
Exactly. They sent him down, you know, because they felt like that they didn't want to mess up his, you know, his outing that, he'd go on the 4-day rest. They didn't want him to pitch on extended rest, so they gave him a start. Down in the minor leagues.
That's bull.
It is bull.
Some bull right there.
It is. So he's gonna pitch one more start in the minor league, and then they're gonna call him up again for the September call-ups.
Mm.
But recapping today's game, Jeremy Hefner, he pitched a wild game today. He went out 8-plus innings. But unfortunately, a Duda error allowed – he misplayed the ball, so he allowed somebody to go to on a double or something like that. He misplayed the ball, so it became, I think, a double or a single and an error, some crazy thing. So that allowed which would later lead to, you know, the Rockies to tie the game.
Right. Wow, that's right, man. Let's, they need to be, these minor league plays, they need to be, you know, up to see how they would fare. I mean, Mets need players right now. Especially Santana, like, he's done for the season, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And that's how McHugh got to start.
Why not leave him in the lineup instead of them having him sent down? Smackdown.
Yeah, that was their reasoning is that they didn't want him to pitch on extended rest, so they want him to go on his regular days. So they made him pitch in the minor. They made him pitch. They're gonna make him pitch one more game in the minors and then call him back up again. I've never heard of that before, but
that's some bull right there.
Yeah, man. And like I was mentioning, another rookie, he was pitching well today. Hefner, he went 8-plus innings, but he got the no decision.
Right.
And Ike Davis, he had a huge game. He gave Hefner the lead at 1.1-0. Ike Davis hit a monster home run, upper deck, you know, deep right field. I mean, it was a shot, but Ike Davis wasn't done today, not by a long shot. So, of course, like in the top of the ninth, after Duda misplayed the ball, which led to a double, which was costly, the Astros had a shot to take the lead, and Duda threw the guy out at second, trying to come home. And Šapek blocked the plate. So that was the play of the game. And back to Ike Davis, he came up to the plate and sent the City Field fans home happy with a shot that just went over the wall. The right fielder tried to leap for the ball, but he didn't get it. 2-1 Mets. Put it in the books.
Oh, well, look at the Mets. They're on the hot streak now.
Yeah, they won two in a row.
I'll break up the Mets.
But unfortunately, they're what, 59 and 69 or something?
Yeah.
So they got ways to go. They got ways to go, but fortunately, this is a lost year. And Sandy Alderson said that, you know, they're going to make some changes because it's pretty much the same team.
Right.
You know, these last couple of years that, you know, haven't done anything, so they're going to get new players.
Right.
But then again, they're gonna spend maybe $100 million or a little over that. So unless he pulls a rabbit out of his hat, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's going to get a lot of good players with that.
Right.
I guess there's going to be some guys, you know, some role player guys who step up in the clutch. But, I mean, Alderson has experience with the A's, you know, bringing a title to Oakland and going to 3 straight World Series from 88 to 90. So hopefully he'll have that same magic he had with the Oakland A's, with the Mets.
Yeah, this offseason, Mets need to do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A lot of things they didn't do the previous offseason, you know?
Yeah. They really have a lot to do. You're not lying at all. And rule number one that they need to do, need to extend Wright's contract. Wright has an option. Ari Dickey has an option.
Mm-hmm.
And they gotta put their money where their mouth is. They want to re-sign Wright and Dickey long-term. So hopefully they can get it done and hopefully put a winning team on the field, which will enable these guys to, you know, want to end their careers at you know, with the Mets.
Yep.
So
certainly.
Hopefully that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And before we talk to about the boys in the Bronx, the other big news is, of course, the Josh Beckett trade.
Yeah, that's the big baseball news that happened this week.
Yeah, the biggest the Red Sox dump salary. I mean, they traded away one of their key acquisitions a couple of years ago, Adrian Gonzalez, who had a good year his first year, but this year he hasn't been playing well. And of course, Josh Beckett, who used to be a hero in Boston,
yep.
You know, how mighty, you know, they've fallen. I mean, now he was a, you know, public enemy number one now.
Yeah, being booed and the whole incident with the chicken and beer during games in the locker room. I mean, Red Sox, they just need to, like, clean their image, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And get rid of some guys who were dead weight. And they got rid of Carl Crawford, Nick
mm-hmm.
Punto,
mm-hmm.
Adrian Gonzalez, as you said. And
right.
Ironically, Adrian Gonzalez hit a home run yesterday with the Dodgers.
I guess he wanted to get something off his chest or out of his bat.
Yeah,
he was really. I guess he's really into leave. Oh yeah, I saw a photo online that they were like, the guys were like celebrating.
Yeah, they look happier. Yeah, what's been happening in the Red Sox organization?
Oh man,
very organization
crazy.
A lot of
yeah.
craziness going over there.
Yeah, you remember when David Ortiz hit his 400th home run this year? He was
mm-hmm.
pretty much. Instead of being happy about his moment, he was saying, like, you know, he's underpaid. You
yeah.
know, it's not fun playing in Boston. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's really gotten ugly. They went from the idiots in 04 to the morons of 2012. I mean, I don't know what's up with these guys.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for Bobby Valentine. I mean, he's a great manager, but, I mean, to be put in this situation –
Oh, yeah.
Team that's trying to win every year and, you know,
oh, yeah.
a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but it should be easier now because, you know, Bobby V, historically, he works well with young guys, you know,
yeah.
who's willing to run through a wall for him instead of the veteran guys who are like, hey, man, I won a championship, you know,
yeah.
the World Series. You never won a World Series as a manager. So,
yeah.
you know, those guys, it's very hard for a veteran to buy into, you know, Bobby V's philosophy. So,
right.
With the younger guys, you know, and it looks like Red Sox are backing them up for at least this year. So, looks like, you know, it should be an easier transition for Bobby V now.
Yep. See what happens.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of a team Bobby V is very familiar with, the New York Yankees, I'll let you take the floor.
Yankees, they today was a rubber game, you know, the final game of the series. It ends this six-game road series. We got swept by the White Sox in their park. In this series versus the Indians, we won the first one. Second game yesterday, the Indians won, despite Carrasco pitching a good game. But we just didn't score runs for him, so we ended up losing that game last night 3-1. And today we had a pretty good game.
Freddy Garcia.
Freddy Garcia. He pitched a good game. And we scored four runs. Swisher hit his 200 home run like Wright did.
Right.
And Granderson had a home run also. So Yankees had a good game. And they win going away 4-2. Soriano closes the game despite being hit by a line drive coming at him, but he looks like he's going to be okay. So, more Yankees play the Blue Jays.
That's very good. Well, you know, hopefully he gets well.
Yeah.
I think too serious.
And by the way, Will, there's a call on the line. Do you want to take it?
Sure, let's take it. That's what the number is for, 917-384-1189.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hey.
You're on the air.
Hey, William. Hey, Macaulay.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
So, you guys saw when The Rock beat John Cena's candy ass?
Yeah. Yeah, they replayed the Rock versus WrestleMania.
The Rock lays the smackers down.
Yeah,
he did. He sure did. And there's rumors that Rock might fight Cena again.
Did you guys see that on YouTube, Santino Moreira? He has a girlfriend that's black.
What? Are you
serious? Yeah.
Yeah, so Santino Moreira has like a foreign exchange show on YouTube.
His girlfriend is black, for real?
Yeah.
What? I mean, on the skit, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, he has a skit. You know, he had a fan who
they were eating
on,
nachos together.
He came on SmackDown.
They were on a date.
She kissed him on live. You know, on SmackDown, like a couple of weeks ago. So he had like a blind date, and it was the same lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a funny skit. You should check it out.
Yeah, I have to see that.
All the fans should check it out too.
And back to the Rock versus Cena. Apparently, Rock revealed that he injured his hamstring in that match when Cena did that top rope leg drop on him.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Was Cena injured at all, or was only Rock?
The Rock tore his hamstring.
Santino was getting it on with the black girl for the first time. Like a bird.
Got that jungle fever.
When your heart beats next to mine. My brother's wanted me to sing this kind of song, but I sing it anyway.
Got that jungle fever.
Somebody's a cobra maniac here.
Son of my God.
Speaking of Santino, he lost the SummerSlam. He fought against Antonio Cesaro, and the Cobra got distracted.
Do you guys like Damian Sandow?
Yeah, he has an interesting character.
He's okay, but kind of we've seen that gimmick before. From Bradshaw
gay,
and
with his
Triple
pink
H
with
in
his
the past,
pink
you know.
With his pink panties he has on.
I guess if he was listening, he'd say, "You're welcome," for you know.
The only guy was okay wearing pink tights with was Bret Hart when he wore pink tights. That was the only guy that actually wore the tights good.
Not happy.
And I'm not saying that in a gay way, you know.
As we speak, Bret Hart's burning his old tights.
All right, thanks, you guys.
All right, thanks for calling.
Sure, no problem. See you guys.
All right,
bye.
Nana, nano.
But yeah, back to SummerSlam. Santino went for the Cobra, but the Cobra got distracted by Oksana, and that's how Cesaro hit his finishing move on him and the neuralizer and got the win and his first singles title, the United States Championship.
Oh yeah.
And that was a pre-WrestleMania match. The other notable matches were Rey Mysterio was against who was he against? Was it Cody Rhodes? No, I'm trying to remember.
Who did he fight again?
Miz. He fought against Miz Miz retained the title.
Right.
Champion. Right, I'm trying to remember what else happened.
The Triple H Rock Lesnar match.
Oh yeah, that was the big one. I was gonna say that for last, but hey, let's dive right into it. The Brock Lesnar Triple H, that was to me the big match of the night. You know, Brock Lesnar I mean, he had to win it because, you know, they're hyping him up like they did back in 02 to 04. So, I mean, and the only match he had prior to the Triple H match was the Cena match, which was pretty brutal for all, from all the people who saw it.
Right.
And but he was 0-1 in his return. But he brought it to the game and made Triple H tapped out to the Kamari lock. And Triple H hit two pedigrees, apparently.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar brought his A-game.
Oh, yeah.
He beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And it looks like this might be the end for Triple H as a wrestler.
Yeah, but, you know, he'll come back. I'm pretty sure they'll fight again at least one more time for Triple H to get his revenge.
Yeah, most likely.
And for the second time in the you know, this year, Brock Lesnar quit again.
Uh-huh. He retired again.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously we know, most of us who's listening knows, you know, wrestling is fake. I mean, couldn't WWE think of another way of him leaving the second time? I mean, couldn't he have just retired? Since, you know, they were saying, like, you know, there's no competition for him. You know, he conquered WWE. You know, they could have just said that, you know, he retired. I mean, I know it's pretty much the same thing. You quit, retire, same thing. But to use the same words, quit, I mean, it just, I don't know. It just sounds like, you know, they ran out of ideas to think of him leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, Brock Lesnar quits, in quotation marks. So I guess Triple H and him fight one more time, which could possibly be WrestleMania. But then again, Brock Lesnar might fight Undertaker, which I really hope that one goes down because of their beef, even when Brock Lesnar was still in UFC. And apparently they've had beef ever since, you know, Brock Lesnar was in WWE the last time. So
yeah, personal beef.
So I hope that one goes down. What are the matches? Oh, yeah, Cena, CM Punk versus Big Show. As we all suspected, Big Show wasn't going to win the match, and shocker, he didn't.
Big Show's a bum, man.
he's a waste of a roster right now. I mean, sure, Big Show is better as a heel. I mean, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, and he's boring to watch as a wrestler.
He is. I mean, the last time he was interesting was in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
That was the last time he was interesting. And he's only good when he fights against a great wrestler who elevates his game.
Yep.
And he can't be good as a good guy. I mean, he has to be a heel, a monster heel, versus, you know, a good guy. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
You can't have Big Show as a good guy fighting against a guy who's, like, at least a foot taller than him and, like, 300 pounds less than him. And you think it's an anti-David versus Goliath match.
Yep.
I mean, if you have a giant beating up on a little person, I'm sorry, it's not miraculous. It's expected. It'd be like watching Ryback or Brodus Clay beat up on some no-name guy.
Yep.
Who's like 95 pounds. I mean, you expect it. But in any case, CM Punk retains. Cena hit the Attitude Adjustment. And when he was going to go for the pin, CM Punk pushed through John Cena out of the ring and got the pinfall. Ooh, what a bad guy. Isn't he supposed to defend it, retain the title any way necessary?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
I had a feeling CM Punk would retain the title.
Yeah, but I think he's going to drop it at, I think the next pay-per-view is Night of Champions, which is going to be in Cena's hometown, Boston.
I could definitely see him dropping to Cena, then Cena going on to face
Rock at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Rock at Royal Rumble, and seeing the CM Punk versus Rock match.
That would be the perfect scenario, because I do not want to see CM Punk face The Rock at Royal Rumble and then Cena and Rock once in a lifetime again. Is that where they're going to build this fight again? Once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime again.
I mean, come on.
I don't have a problem with them fighting again. I mean, it was a very good match, and I saw it again yesterday. But, I mean, it made it magical because it never happened before, and they built it once in a lifetime. But if you're going to have them fight 2 years in a row at WrestleMania,
that's
it's going to lessen it.
Yeah, it will.
So if they're going to fight again, I hope they fight at Royal Rumble and not at WrestleMania. At least give it a year away. If they're gonna fight at WrestleMania again,
come on. I want to see Cena fight Undertaker at WrestleMania. That's what I want to see him fight.
Who you said? Oh, Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be another one. I if it was me booking, I'd make Brock fight Undertaker, and then fight Cena.
Yep.
That's how I would book it. What other matches happen? Oh yeah, the World Heavyweight Title. Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio, and no surprise, Sheamus won, even though Alberto Del Rio's leg was underneath the ropes or on the ropes, but Sheamus got the win. And I know a lot of people, there's a lot of Sheamus fans out there, but I don't know. I feel like Sheamus is being forced down, you know, people's throat. I'm not really impressed with him. I mean, don't get me wrong, he has improved from how he used to be when he was a heel. I mean, he's gotten better in the ring, but I don't know. I just feel like he's being forced.
He's definitely a much better wrestler, better on a microphone.
Yeah, but I mean, he had no mic skills whatsoever.
Yeah.
On the mic. I mean, he's improving. I'll give him that. But yeah, I mean, they're trying to build him up. I mean, they're almost going to give this guy like a year reign, the way how it's going. I mean, he's been the championship, what, since August, April 1st?
Yeah.
I mean, at this rate, you know, I think they're going to make him be at least a year champion, the way how they're
like CM Punk.
Yeah. Well, CM Punk, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, at least he's, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
On the
he's
mic.
He's more of a character, has more personality than...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, a champion should have all of those qualities, or at least really be great.
Right.
You know, in ring wise, you have to have at least something overpowering. To me, Sheamus is average in everything. I mean, he has a great finish for the bro kick, but other than that, I mean, his mic skills, his charisma, all the other stuff, they're average to me. I mean,
skin color is average.
What are you saying?
His skin color is average. It's plain white.
I think that's the only thing that makes him, like, stand out, you know, personality-wise, to be honest with you. You know, because he looks different. I mean, he doesn't, you know, like the other guys, you know, he doesn't tan or anything like that. I guess that makes him stand out. Other than that, I mean, personality-wise, you know, he's an average champion. But, hey, hopefully he improves.
Yeah, you said you would like to see Daniel Bryan as a champion right now, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Daniel Bryan's the biggest heel right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it should be CM Punk because CM Punk is the WWE champion, but CM Punk just turned, and, I mean, Daniel Bryan gets a reaction out of people.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when.
What did you say?
When he was arguing with that fan on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah, going up in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, this guy should be. I wish he took the title off Sheamus when he had the rematches, but, you know, now Daniel Bryan's in limbo right now. So hopefully he'll. Even though he's on Raw, hopefully they'll find a way to make him, you know, beat Sheamus for the title and go to SmackDown.
Yeah.
But with that, I guess you have anything else to say?
No, that's about it.
All right, so folks, I'll see you guys next week. So long. I want to thank you all. I want to thank McCauley for coming on the show. No problem.
from, and I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legends. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next week.